The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Everybody, the fuck?
Bada boom.
We're finishing up our theme on the fuck, which are weird movies that are just weird as weird. Mm-hmm. This this week's selection was chosen by Chris Drake.
Yep.
Swiss and, Army Man.
Whew, and it was the fuck. That was the definition. Yeah. Nailed it.
And then I'll be reviewing Yummy for Straight to Video Russian Roulette. But thank you if you're a patron. We appreciate your support.
Your support is yummy in our tummies.
Our Origins episode 103 from July of 2008 is out there now. If you want to go back in the time machine, where we talked about iMonster, the TV show Fear Itself, and Andy reviewed Sick Nurses.
Sick.
Very prescient.
Well, that makes me sad.
Now it's
thinking
very sad.
Of today's times.
Right. Back then it was for whimsy.
That was Paz de la Huerta, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. That's... Nurse.
Oh, right. Nurse 3D. Never mind. Sorry. Yeah.
Sick Nurses was a Korean movie, right? I believe.
I remember.
Andy, do you remember?
Do you remember, Andy?
12 years ago?
Pepper Schwamm remembers.
I can't tell them apart, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a whole conversation about that in this episode, too. Yeah. Thank you to Jeff Lancaster, who went above and beyond with his Patreon contribution.
And thank you very much.
He manually went in there and chiseled out additional funds for his contribution.
Thanks,
which,
man.
Was
that
really
was
amazing.
Awesome of you.
Thank
did,
you for
did
that.
Did you mean to do that?
He did. He
I'm
he,
kidding.
I double checked with him, actually.
I make a joke.
Just be sure.
I make a joke.
You do. You make joke. How do you make an American a laugh? You tickle them in their patriotic balls.
Yeah, thanks, though, to you guys, to patrons, and thanks to all of you listeners, too, for hanging out.
That's right. I made pizzas, homemade pizzas last night for Andy and Amy.
Oh, how would they turn out, y'all?
What'd you think? You tell me.
Be honest.
Some homemade them.
Yeah.
Andy had some, constructive notes for you.
Yeah.
I think they're fine. I like your pizzas very much. You've made them for me a few times.
Yeah, I'm still learning.
They're very good, but you can tell that Freddie made them with love. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And by love, I mean cum.
I have a hard time
gross
transferring the prepared pizza to the hot pizza stone or steel without it just folding up and turning into a big blob.
But you know what? I like the look of the pizzas. It gave them character.
The rustic look, yeah.
Extraordinarily rustic.
So if anybody out there makes homemade pizza and they know any tips or tricks for getting it off of the peel cleanly, I used the cornmeal.
This is very important.
I tried to do the whole quick clean and snap and jerk, whatever they do to get it to slide off. And half the time,
clean and snatch.
Clean your snatch. It sounded like you said.
Clean and jerk.
In just 14 minutes, I can bake you a pizza.
Yes, so we did our socially distanced backyard
Yeah.
Fun. So if you're like, wait a minute, you invited Andy into your home? No, he's not allowed in my house.
It was all backyard.
All backyard stuff.
We were the backyardigans.
You're the backyardigans. My mom came over. It was fun.
It was fun. I think I still have just a touch of heartburn.
From your pizzas?
From my pizza. I think I make a spicy sauce.
So before we started recording, Kelly, Andy, and I were talking about King of the Hill and how I've been watching it as comfort.
Yes.
Been rewatching it. And I noticed on the internet today that Hank Hill was trending on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, what's going on here? And then somebody was asking, and it went viral, what fictional characters would be Trump supporters?
Oh, I don't think Hank Hill.
Well,
would.
So no, most of the tweets I saw were like, you get Hank Hill out of this. He would never support Trump.
No, he would not.
He was a Johnson Democrat. We had this conversation kind of, sort of.
Good man.
Yeah.
This fictional character you is a Hank good Hill. Man.
Nobody with a dog named Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Now, he would be a George Bush supporter.
Probably.
Both Bushes.
Yeah, probably.
It's Texas, baby.
That's right.
So, Amy, like, were there other people on the list that they assumed to be Trump supporters?
Well, Ron Swanson was trending, too. People were like,
I
no.
I don't know about that either.
Yeah.
No, you know who would, though? No. Frank from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But he would just run himself, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would be a Trump supporter out of this list? Are you ready?
Freddy Krueger. Yeah.
Jason Voorhees, Leatherface, and Pinhead. Who's the Trump supporter in that group?
Oh, Leatherface Pinhead. Is definitely, sure. I think Leatherface would be in his cabinet if you're a real person.
Pinhead because pain is pleasure.
And chaos.
Yeah. Kelly's making rubber band noises again.
I was just coughing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Kelly snapped because he's a rubber band.
Rubber band man.
When you saw Hank Hill trending, were you worried that he was going to be
dead? That he was dead, yeah.
Or that he got Me Too'd.
I thought he looked at Luann in a weird way that one time.
Well, he was always like, you know, he wouldn't even be in his robe when she was around.
Oh,
he was fighting some urges. Yeah. Let's just say.
Yeah, he smelled her hair one time.
Oh, that was Bobby. Anyway, Hank Hill would absolutely not be a Trump supporter. You got to be shitting me. No, I'm not saying he's not problematic, but he would not be Trump supporter.
But he would screw up the election by voting for a weird third party candidate.
Hank, no. He's very establishment.
I don't know.
Get out of here.
Anyway. I think Ron Swanson would be a Bernie bro, right?
Yeah, definitely.
No.
He'd be either Bernie or he's a Jesse the Body. He writes in Jesse the
he's
Body.
He's a libertarian.
Ventura.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was a lot of crossover.
That's weird.
Which is a weird thing. Yeah. Because like the whole it's two totally diametrically opposing ideas.
Very true.
But I have seen some people that have switched.
Well, whatever. I'm not.
You know. Choosing moms, choose Jeff.
Yep. So yes. So that's what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna write in Jeff's name on November 3rd.
Because you're a choosy mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to throw the election into chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one thing will do that.
Those Russian bots got to me.
He's been radicalized.
Yeah.
So, you know, since we're still not going out and having new adventures, what
but
else?
You know
is-
who else? But you know who else is having adventures?
Who?
Everybody else.
I know.
People need to stay the fuck home.
Stop having adventures.
Yeah. People stay near and dear to us are risking their lives.
Home. Don't.
Please don't kill yourselves or me.
Yeah. Very true.
I'm turning inward to have adventures.
Yes. Same.
Brain?
Inside. I'm exploring the multitudes that exist within my consciousness.
Yeah.
So this week's movie is about farts.
So deep.
Well, this house has been nothing but a den of farts lately. So, yeah. Like, den it really farts. Is.
Den of farts.
It's something else. I mean, I'm having adventures in that I have to go to work twice a week now.
Yeah.
Into the office. But nobody's really there. And it's just a waste of energy and time.
That's silly.
But I'm there.
We finished Enterprise.
Yes. Star Trek Enterprise.
Kind of a little bit of a heartbreaker.
Should not have been canceled. You know what? Those last two seasons were really good.
It got real good. They do the coolest thing, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Then
so
don't.
I'm not going to spoil it. But their finale was handled in such an interesting way.
It wasn't exactly satisfying, but it had an interesting...
It left you wanting more. Oh. There was one moment in it that bothered me, but it was dramatic enough that it warranted it. But if you're a Star Trek fan,
Captain Archer
and you
farts on the bridge.
If you gave up on Enterprise because
the first two seasons
were kind of wonky, it's worth going back for 3 and 4 and watching those because they really bring the Star Trek-y goodness in those last couple of seasons. The theme song never gets better.
No.
They do tease you.
Gets worse.
Because in season 3, they're like, oh, the much controversial, horrible Patch Adams theme song has changed for season 3. And I told Amy, I said, oh, I read this trivia. It says they changed the theme song in season 3. They fixed it. So I'm expecting a big orchestral theme like they have.
On all the others.
On the other series. And instead, they just added like a drum machine and a bass line to the song.
Terrible.
Oh god.
So is it better or worse?
It's worse.
It's a little worse. It somehow is a little worse.
It's terrible about that. How dare you? Like, I thought the original series had not a great theme
song.
I
love that
song.
I'm
sure people love it. It's fine. It's just a little
too jazzy. The original series? What?
I didn't care for it. I thought it was doofy. But I would fucking want that played at my funeral over
I've got faith in my heart.
I got faith in my fart.
Yeah.
You guys never got Stockholm Syndrome with a theme song?
But it'll get stuck in your brain.
We've only heard it 3 times, right?
Yeah.
We heard it the first time we heard it.
Yeah.
We heard it.
We played it for Andy.
The time we played it for you guys, just to verify that it was a real thing. We didn't dream it. And then we heard it when they added the drums and the bass. Drums and bass.
The drum and the bass.
It was the EDM version.
Slap of the bass.
It was a dubstep. But has anybody seen the trailer that was released recently for the Lower Decks, the Star Trek Lower Decks animated series?
Out? Yeah. I didn't know that.
I haven't seen it, like, with sound. But it has, like, not a Rick and Morty kind of style, but it's kind of that.
It's from the guys who made it work on Rick and Morty, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought they did.
I'm not in charge of.
I will find out while you talk about that.
But it's like silly. It's like, you know, the ensigns that do the grunt work and aren't part of the big dramatic bridge stuff. So that looks like fun. That's something to look forward to and not kill ourselves.
That does look fun. Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You got to have some reason to get up in the morning.
Mike McMahon. Yeah.
Oh, so then, yeah, Rick and Morty
and
Solar
Opposites. Yeah, yeah, same. Yep.
So would I be lost if I tried watching that show?
I don't know. I don't think you would. I think you get the basics of Star Trek, right?
Oh, they moved the premiere up. It's going to be next month, August 6th.
Yeah!
Well.
Can't wait.
You heard it here at some point. Maybe not first or second or third.
We got two new Star Trek series coming. That and the live action one, too.
I want to watch Star Trek, but I'm just too lazy.
You know that
seems daunting.
It isn't.
No, you want more. If you're like me, you want
just
nonstop Star Trek in your veins.
Just turn it on, Andy, like you do the water in your home, hot and cold running Star Trek.
Yeah,
and just let it flow over you. Like that's what you do. You turn on the original series in the background, and wait until something catches your attention. And then just keep going and then
Orion's
watch
Lake
nothing
girl.
But Star Trek. And you'll be fine.
And just leave it on the background running and it's not going to overflow eventually.
It'll
ruin my pipes.
It will flood your home.
It'll become part of your way you see the world. You'll feel optimistic. You'll feel like there's a future.
Your circulatory system will
it's good.
Itself.
It's good for asthma and glaucoma.
It does.
Star Trek does all kinds of great stuff.
It can cause diarrhea.
Medical grade Star Trek is now illegal in Ohio. You gotta go to a Star Trek dispensary, though.
Yeah.
What do you recommend? I'm kind of, I have anxiety. What kind of Star Trek do you recommend?
You want to pick up red shirt if you want to be like peppy.
You want Andorian blue if you really want to be like locked into your couch.
What if I'm having trouble sleeping? What do you
Romulan ale?
Romulan ale. Yeah.
Yeah, our blood wine. Klingon blood wine.
Sometimes I just want to have fun, man. What do I want? What do you prescribe for that?
Oh, that's just called green bitches.
Q.
Q. What's up, nerds?
I love my green bitches.
Green bitches.
Down on the farm.
There's going to be all kinds of rap songs about green bitches, like Cypress Hill style.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boysies.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
As Sam from Quantum Leap would say when he looks in the mirror and realizes that he's leaped into a man with Down syndrome in the early 1980s. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Freddie was talking about that episode last night. You were talking about Scotty Bax.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scotty Bax leaping.
Mm-hmm. Leaping. He's leaping. Leaping.
Loving.
Kelly, do that, the New Orleans CSI.
NCIS.
NCIS.
We gonna have some fun.
Wait, is it NCIS?
Yeah, it's NCIS New Orleans.
Oh, we gonna have some fun.
Oh, we gone. Anything else for the top?
I earnestly and honestly don't know. I listen to other podcasts that are even weekly, and they're like, they have plenty of things to talk about. And I feel like we get here, and I'm like,
what? Okay, let's move on then.
So is it me or is it you?
You made it. You.
It's you guys.
You made it. You.
Yeah, it's us. We're boring.
You. Yeah. Suck.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Klinika Krovchik.
Hi.
We always help to make the world more beautiful.
Are you on Yasops?
Yeah. Isn't it prohibited to drink coffee in a bar?
He's professional.
Wie sind wir so lustig?
What the fuck was that?
Dr. Krovchik is a very brilliant surgeon.
You're in the best place, in perfect hands.
Wait, stop. Oh. Stop immediately. Scientific
time. Michael, what about this?
Stop the operation right now.
What
the fuck?
I saw a man eating a man.
You saw a man eating what?
We should make the best of the little time we have left.
Hey, wait, that kiss!
Chop it off! No! Do it!
Sorry.
So, is this what you want?
So, this was a very enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. This is a...
Yummy!
It's called Yummy. It's exclusively on Shudder right now. It's from writer-director Lars Domuso, I think is how that's pronounced, and co-writer Eveline Hagenbeek.
Sorry.
She's from Harry Potter.
Yeah. Drippin' Dong. This is a Belgian movie, but it has Dutch and in English actors in it as well. It's this plastic surgery clinic, this young woman and her mom and the young woman's boyfriend go there, and it's like in Eastern Europe. They even had like a fictional foreign language that the people spoke that they wrote for the movie just to make it like an indeterminate country.
Clever.
The daughter, she's going because she has like size F breasts and she wants a reduction.
That'll hurt your back.
And the mom is a plastic surgery addict and she's just getting another operation done while they're there. And the boyfriend is driving them both there because he plans on proposing to his girlfriend. And he figures once this is over, the surgery is over and everything, would be a good time to pop the question.
I guess.
To show he still loves her, even though she's changed her body and all that stuff.
So romantic.
Mm-hmm.
So the actor who plays the boyfriend reminds me a lot of like Tim Robbins mixed with Josh Brolin. Or James Brolin, I mean. Like, his mannerisms, somewhat his appearance, but he's really strong in this. Like, great performance. Everyone in it actually delivers on their character almost pitch perfect. Reminded me a lot of Dead Alive in moments.
Yeah.
The humor works. The scares work. It's just a really solid zombie movie. And I feel like, you know, there being such a glut of zombie movies at all times that sometimes it's, people think it's enough to just have some zombies in your movie. And that's a movie.
And that's a movie.
But this movie,
and that's a movie.
This movie had great setups for jokes, had a lot of great gross out humor in it.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
Zombie movie.
I'm sold. I'll watch it.
I think you'll like it, Kelly. It has, like I said, it's a great horror comedy. And where it seems like it should be something that's just worn out, but it's really fun. So I don't want to give away any more than that.
All
right. So I don't want to spoil it. There's a great penis in this movie. So stick around for that.
Okay.
That's one thing I love.
Now you're talking.
Really great whole running gag with a penis. It's pretty fantastic.
A running penis? Oh, my
running
gosh.
Penis, yeah.
Is it a fast-moving penis or something?
I'm tired of that argument. I think that they're both scary, fast and slow-moving penises.
Fast penis softball.
The problem with the thing that makes the slow penises scary is just the number of them and how they overwhelm you.
Yeah.
And then you have to board up the windows.
If you were to get any plastic surgery, Freddie, what would it be?
I would love to have a giant horse dick. Call me crazy.
Amy, you down for that?
I mean, who wouldn't want to have a giant horse dick?
Well, that's not really realistic.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand right now.
Oh, you don't want a giant horse dick?
No. How are you going to wear pants?
I don't wear them anymore.
You're just going to wear skirts?
Not since the quarantine.
That's true. You really don't wear pants anymore.
I want the kind of dick that people are scared of.
I didn't realize. I thought you'd be like
a trunk.
like a scary big penis.
So you want specially made pants, right?
I just want people to be like, whoa, did Hammer you see pants. That? And I'd be like, yes, it's huge, I know.
God.
It's $20,000 worth of surgery.
It's too big. But that's what you wanted. Yeah. Too big.
I want it too big.
I think I'd get like my chin tightened up. Not like my chin. I mean just like. Or is it, okay, so we're in this time frame right now where everything we do, we're on Zoom or Teams or something. And
yeah.
Where I guess my camera is on my laptop. I just always feel like I'm hiding a double chin.
Well, it's the angle. You have your laptop way low.
Well, it's a thing I've been thinking about. So
I'll get you a stand.
The minute you say plastic surgery, I'm like.
No, you don't have a, you're fine.
If I get you a stand like this, Amy, it'll change the perception of yourself.
No.
Because whenever I had my laptop low like that, all I could see was the forest of nose hairs. And now I look like I'm just crazy hot at this angle. Because it feels like a giant's looking down at me, and it's like, hey, nice horse penis.
You're so thin just because of the angle.
Yeah.
Of his dangle.
Of the dangle.
It's directly proportionate to the heat of the meat.
Just get a giant horse penis, and it'll distract people.
Oh, yeah. Nobody will notice anything else.
What if we both went in? We've got a couple's, do they do that like a...
Buy one, get one.
Like a special, like they do a couple's massage, and it's like $10 cheaper. Because you're doing it together. And then we can have little sword fights.
Little? No.
Big sword fights.
Slap our big old horse penises together.
Think of the fun.
How big are the balls in comparison? Are they...
Oh, I want a ball reduction. I want a giant horse penis and tiny little baby balls.
So you're going to have a giant horse penis and pea-sized balls?
Yeah. It makes the penis look bigger.
My mom is listening to this.
The smallest on the market?
This season, the thing that the hot trend is tiny baby balls and a big horse penis.
That would be so disconcerting.
This fall,
do I get a say in this?
Nay,
no, nay.
But you know, somebody out there is getting off on this. What's that rule?
Rule 34.
Yeah.
34.
I don't care.
Inches.
Internet was a mistake. Yeah. All right. Well, guess what, everybody? Freddie doesn't have a great big horse penis, but we do have a Jack in the Box. And let's get to cranking. Let's see who's going to review that extra letter.
Okay. You tell me. What do you got?
All right. So we're going to start with Kelly.
Yes, Kelly.
There we go.
Kelly is up.
Crank it.
Kelly cranks it. No horse penis for Kelly this week.
Oh, woo.
Andy.
You know what that means, Amy?
No horse penis for Andy.
Amy's getting a horse penis.
Woo!
Just like she always wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a giveaway on Oprah one time.
Everybody got a horse penis?
I came here to chew bubble gum and have my penis surgically altered to the size of a horse penis, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
All right, I'm going to watch a movie. It's on Prime. It's called The Night Sitter from the creator of Final Destination.
Oh, he was super sweet. Remember?
Yes. A scheming con artist poses as a babysitter to steal from a wealthy occult enthusiast and his reclusive son. Her crew arrives to clean out the house just as the son stumbles upon one of his father's most prized artifacts and unwittingly summons a trio of witches known as the Three Mothers. As the sadistic witches start picking people off, who will survive the night?
Three Mothers? That's like Dario Argento.
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
Sure.
If you don't know, you can't be part of the club anymore.
I hate you.
He's never even seen Scanners.
The Night Sitter.
He's never even seen a horse penis.
That's not true.
You guys are killing it today.
Killing it.
So patrons, you need to step up your donations to get the horse penis.
It isn't going to be cheap.
All right.
I'm just a fan today, you guys. I'm just like watching.
All right. Yeah.
He likes to watch.
You're a prize.
Or I'm just hallucinating from starvation. You're special. You're special.
When there's 7 billion people on the planet, you might be lucky enough to bump into the one person you want to spend the rest of your life with.
This is the life I've forgotten.
This is just the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swiss Army Man.
I really enjoyed the fuck out of this movie. I get the feeling Kelly hated it just from everything.
Oh no.
I didn't hate it at all.
What did you feel?
I didn't feel anything.
Kelly was just like, huh.
You didn't feel anything?
I didn't feel anything. I wanted to feel something, but I didn't feel anything.
Wow.
I'll tell you, Kelly, I'm sort of where you are. In that I don't know that I felt a lot, but I will say here's what I'll say. I will say that this movie should have been intolerable to me because it hit very much hits buttons of movies I hate.
I thought it was going to be your downfall.
Yeah. Like it was going to be my Waterloo.
Yeah.
Waterloo.
We were going to come in and all your hair was going to have fallen out because you'd gotten the fright, but out of anger.
The harem scarum.
The harem scarum, yeah.
But
anger-related harem scarum.
I actually really enjoyed it, but I will say it didn't leave me like... I don't think it left me with the same emotional impact that I should have had or you had, or not should have had, but... I think it wanted me to have.
More than anything, for me, it was just a really funny comedy. It reminded me a lot of Terry Gilliam stuff, like Baron Munchausen or Brazil. Like, it was just a fun, weird, unique comedy. And it had so much great fart humor. Mm. And I never get sick of that, no matter how old I get. I love it.
What did you think, Andy?
It was enjoyable. It could have been like a prototypical art house movie. I think that was a lot of people thought, like, it's very pretentious. But nothing wrong with a little pretension.
Well, I thought it'd be more pretentious than it ended up being.
I actually didn't think it was pretentious.
No, it could have been.
Yes, it absolutely had moments.
It had moments of pretension, but that's what I was like ready for. But, right. I like pretension sometimes, but...
No, we know you do, Mr. Wes Anderson fan.
The acting was good, and the scenery and camera work was really beautiful. I just didn't feel... I just wasn't sure what I was supposed to get out of it, and I felt like if there was going to be... What it seemed to be, if I was looking at this like any other movie... It would seem to be that a homeless guy hallucinated that he was stalking some woman and living in the woods behind her house with a dead body for a while and engaging in maybe some sort of necrophilia, and then comes out at the end and nothing is good for him. That's one way to look at it.
It could be like an incredibly scary and dark story.
Well, that's when the reveal at the end, when this whole time he's basically just been hanging out in the woods behind this chick's house that he's stalking.
Right. They do a great job of kind of glossing over that.
Very much so.
And
you're like, I think
because it's from his perspective, you know.
Well, also, that's a great...
in that guy's...
It's a great gag, too. Where, like, you should be horrified, but then they're like, we're going to just diffuse this with a boner and a fart.
That's how you do anything.
Yeah. I was kind of let down by the ending. In a certain way, I wish it wouldn't have went sincere with the ending and not have the obvious
twist. It was kind of sincere.
Well, what Andy's saying is I wanted it to be where he kind of learned something about himself and made his life better.
Yeah, and not just that, look at this guy with obvious mental problems. And I thought it was, I just wanted to be as sincere as the like lead up to it, like the life lessons that he learned, mm-hmm. as opposed to kind of in a certain way poking fun at him.
Didn't you feel you, did you think it ended on him being crazy? Cause everybody else saw the body, saw Manny like shoot off into the ocean.
But the fact
I don't think they saw that.
No.
You don't think so?
I think what we were left with at the end was understanding that this guy is way more deeply disturbed than we realized. And I wanted it to end with him like reconciling with his dad. Or like
that's what I was wanting.
Really?
Doing one human normal thing.
Oh, I loved it where his dad just nods when the body starts farting its way across the ocean again. Like, to me, that's like a level of brilliant, because you expect him to have that moment with his dad and for things to fall apart at the end or him to be obviously crazy. But I honestly think the filmmakers leaned in on this being real at the end, and they're just like, oh, it's like the end of the Goonies, where nobody believed that, you know, One-Eyed Willie's rich stuff was out there until the kids showed up with all the fucking gems and stuff, and the housekeeper's like, ay, es dos mios. That is that moment for me in this movie.
Or it's like the pit where it turns out that the trawler logs are real.
Right.
I don't know that was their intent. We read an article, like a interview with them about it, and they seemed like it was pretty like just sort of about love and farts and acceptance.
Yeah,
accepting that you're crazy.
They called it a fart drama, and I watched the bonus content. I watched everything except for the director's commentary. And these two guys just strike me as really fun guys that made this movie.
Fun guys,
and their whole group, the whole creative team that did this, just all the care they took making like that prosthetic. They made a prosthetic version of Daniel Radcliffe's ass just for all the fart scenes, like where it had to be like, you know, working as a jet engine, essentially.
I loved that stuff. All the fart shit.
All the fart shit. Yeah.
All the ways he was a Swiss Army knife of a dead body.
Chop wood in half and everything. Yeah.
Start a fire.
Yeah, it just seemed like a real bummer of an ending to me. Yeah. Especially because like you hear him talking, like you get the idea that the body is actually much more decayed than even we've been led to believe, because like they're talking about his stomach has been exploded by the gases, and it's just like, oh.
Well, yeah. So
it's so dark, and it's so funny. The different experience, like Kelly's experience with this movie, is the opposite of mine. I felt like I had watched Pete's Dragon or something.
Yeah,
it's like a Pixar movie.
Yeah,
I watched like a Aqualung.
Did you feel like that Manny was like Forky from Toy Story 4?
Manny, ask a question.
So like, okay, so at the beginning of the movie you're basically watching Hank, the Paul Dano, trying to hang himself, but because of the opening credits it's like little notes that's like, I was on a boat, I need somebody to come save me. You think he's been like shipwrecked, he's like shaggy, he's got a beard, he's like, his clothes are all torn up, he's dirty, like he's hanging himself. But then he sees the dead body. So now thinking back to the end, was he always just hanging out in the woods behind her house?
I think so.
And then decided to kill himself because he had a psychotic, some kind of mental health break.
Yeah.
And then he sees the dead body, and then they go on adventures together, and he brings Daniel Radcliffe back to life with his love.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
He farts his way into his heart.
Yeah,
farts and hearts, they both rhyme.
I love when he didn't know what Jurassic Park was. Remember,
they do shadow puppets, and they sing the Jurassic Park
in the Jurassic Park theme. Did you notice that the song, that's them performing that song with like popcorn song?
Yeah.
And then there's a lyric video out there where you can see what all the lyrics are, and they're great. It's just basically singing about everything they're doing. It's really cute.
Freddie really...
I am enamored with this movie.
He took this movie into his heart.
A lot of people are. I don't, you know, I get it.
I didn't think I was going to like it at all. Like, I thought it was going to be like a very... Like, I liked It Comes at Night.
Yeah.
as a film, I respect it. I shouldn't say I like it. It's not entertaining. And that's what I expected from this. I thought this was going to be like some highbrow, boring thing with a few interesting visual moments in it. And instead I got like borderline Farrelly Brothers comedy out of it.
I predicted that you were going to love this. Yeah. And I also said something, like, I didn't say Farrelly Brothers, but I was like, this is like an Adam Sandler movie if he did this.
Isn't every movie an Adam Sandler movie if he did it?
Well, but you know what I mean by that. I just can't. It's
Adam Sandler's like, The Shining.
No, it's like if the Farrelly Brothers or Adam Sandler made Castaway.
Yeah, I would think of Adam Sandler remaking great films. And what would change?
All right, everybody be quiet while Freddie thinks about it.
You know.
It's Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
If you hear me typing or you don't hear me typing, it could be our milk. It could be your milk. But don't disturb me when
I'm
writing.
Adam Sandler?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I don't do Adam Sandler.
That was good. I got it.
I thought it was Phil Cosby at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Shining. It's good.
It would be the bartender. So it would be Rob Schneider would be the bartender.
Yep. Yeah. And but he would be playing a different race.
He would be. He'd be in blackface.
Of some kind. There's a wheel, I feel like.
A wheel of faces.
Turn. And I'm like, oh, today it's, and then you just choose whatever it is.
Yeah. Would he be playing the Shelley Duvall character like in Jack and Jill?
Yes. He'd play both parts, and then Terry Crews would be Dick Halloran.
Oh, what a piece of trash he is.
Is he?
That's another aside.
Yeah. I keep hearing a lot of mixed up things about him.
Things that were cool. I did enjoy their little relationship.
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously, number one is going to be the farts. The farts were great. The farts were fantastic. Excellent farts. I love the montage at the end of all the farts. Or no, it was like somewhere in the middle of all the farts Hank did by himself because he didn't want to fart in front of anybody.
I enjoyed this movie a lot than you're saying.
No, I really did. I did like it. I do think it's a good movie. But
no,
it just
didn't stick with you.
I was left a little cold by the ending.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
we turned and looked at each other a million times, just laughing, going, this is so fucking stupid.
I know.
But we were laughing, you know? Yeah.
Well, because I want people to embrace the fart humor. Fart humor is good for your soul.
You got to watch behind the scenes because as funny as the fart stuff is, the amount of work that goes into creating each fart sequence makes it funnier. Because like everything was done with practical effects. There's like forced air cannons and all kinds of stuff involved. And there's an animatronic boner and like all these things they did. And then on top of that, one of the bonus features. Oh, I'm sorry, Andy.
But as funny as the fart stuff was, I was just as enamored as the other stuff.
Oh, it had a heart. It had a real heart to it.
Yeah.
No, like all the other humor of him using Daniel Radcliffe as a Swiss Army.
As a water fountain.
The water fountain.
As a gun.
As a gun.
When he shot that off that squirrel.
He put a cork in his butt.
And he put a cork in his butt. Yeah.
Yeah. As a boat, even in the beginning where he was just riding him.
Yeah.
to land because his farts were so powerful, but it was like an engine.
Yeah.
There's no way a dead body could do that.
It was like the Falcor scene in the Neverending Story a little bit. Yeah. It was like, all right,
It was probably a direct homage.
I think it might have been.
Or like when he used the Bible and he drew over it to recreate everybody poops.
Yeah. He probably used poop to draw those pictures.
Yeah,
too.
It was brown.
It takes everything that your body doesn't want. And it forces it out your butthole. the extras, there's they call it the alternate viewing experience. It's the movie without the music. And they tell you like spots to fast forward to and they're like the finale like to have all this dramatic music playing in the movie, because without it, it's just a bunch of people watching this guy lay on the beach and fart punch. And they're all just like, he's just like, there's no music. There's no like emotional cues at all. They just, and they cut to the dad just nodding. It is like fucking gut wrenching. So did funny.
Did you hear in any of that stuff that the score for the movie was actually written before the movie was filmed?
Yeah, like they had made a music video, right, for the artist that did the score.
I get that. That's what their normal thing was, is music videos.
Yeah.
So yeah, they had it. That's all I got out of that.
I love how immature these filmmakers are to their core, and they're because they talked about their music videos, and they're like, every music video we make just starts with a funny image, and then we try to make that into a video. Like, why is this funny image happening? What's the story behind it? And they were talking about all the other times they had to create boners. He says, usually we would just use a broomstick and stick it behind somebody. Like, they had enough experience creating fake boners for their work that when they got to this is like the Rolls Royce of fake boners, this animatronic one. I kind of love these guys. There's so much whimsy and fun.
No, there is a lot. I get it.
But the darkness is there. There is potentially a very horrifying reality underneath the story, which I think just pluses the experience of the comedy of it. Then you're like, wait a minute. Let's stop and think. This guy might be like the Gainesville slasher.
Well, I feel like it's sort of like that episode of Buffy where she's in the insane asylum. It's sort of like you have to choose as a viewer what reality you want to end up going with.
Yeah. Right. And I like to laugh.
It's the Matrix. Are you going to take the blue pill or the red pill?
I mean, it's more enjoyable to think of it as if everything was really happening.
Yeah, that's where I go. I think it all happened.
But I'm still left with he had been living out in the woods behind this woman's house.
Yeah.
That he had never spoken to, and, you know, it was stalking.
Yeah, it's like, that's the problem I had with the ending, I guess, because it was kind of obvious that it was not that the main character didn't have this relationship with this woman on his phone, even though that was what it was implied.
Yeah.
It's like, I knew that wasn't going to happen because obviously, like, he's carrying a dead body around using a Swiss Army knife. But I kind of wish that it went that way, that it turns out that it was his girlfriend or his wife.
Oh, and it's like the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where they have Daniel Radcliffe for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, he just wanted to come home.
And he's just like, I haven't been home in years.
Yeah. So I just wish that the heart and the sincerity would have kept through to the end. That's what I wanted, so it's not the movie's fault. But
right.
I just it was kind of, I guess, jarring the transition from this super whimsy movie to the super dark ending.
I mean, I hope that Hank got the help he needed and they didn't just throw him in jail. But knowing this country.
Yeah. Remember when he farted there and everybody got real sick? They're all like,
I think this is the kind, like, this is what I would want out of a Wes Anderson movie, for there to be some silliness. And I mean, not like whimsy. I mean, silliness, like farting and
boners and farting and poop.
Yes.
You keep farting and boners out of Wes Anderson. You can have these
all
dudes.
Right.
He's like, clink, 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 clink. And then Cat Stevens starts singing.
I need all movies to come down to my dumb level. That's what I'm saying. I think at the end of the day, I think it is way better than I thought it was going to be. And I, you know, because I, you know, immediately look at these little indie movies and go, not for me.
Yeah.
So I was glad to be forced out of my narrow uriti. And
I just have a lot of respect for the fact that they at once were making, I mean, the filmmakers, it's interesting to hear them talk about, because they're like, we want it to be the most beautiful movie about farting that has ever been made.
I think that's true.
And I think they did manage to
I think that they accomplished.
Yeah. I love the music. It's very soothing.
Mm-hmm.
And nice. It had a great score.
Yeah.
And Daniel Radcliffe, man, he went for it.
And the use of the theme to Jurassic Park was brilliant. There's a lot of things in this. I'll probably watch it again. I liked it that much.
Yeah, I definitely did get the friendship aspect of it. That's what I loved most about it. But you know, it's just the ending didn't land for me.
But who is Manny?
I know you. What's important that you never really know.
I don't think it matters.
Yeah. Did he? What happened to him? Did he commit suicide?
Yeah, he was a bridge jumper. Did you hear that? That was part of the dialogue when they
Oh, that makes it worse.
In the background, they say he was a bridge jumper. You can hear the paramedics talking.
And then his body was desecrated over and over and over again.
He kind of sounded a little bit like Peter Lorre sometimes too. Like the voice that Randall Radcliffe chose, you know, for that character was almost like Peter Lorre. It was just a sweet, weird voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's very childlike because that's what his character is, basically. He's trying to just learning the ways of the world.
Yeah.
He learned about poop.
Yep.
I called him a bum just now. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
You called who a bum?
I said he might have been another bum. Like homeless dude. I said bum.
Is bum not politically correct? Of it,
oh,
you're not allowed
apologizing to now. For
yeah.
Saying bum.
Okay. You're yes. Yeah.
Tramp.
I meant more like a hobo.
Hobo.
I don't know if that you know, like a singing hobo.
No,
like
stabbing hobo.
Not a stabbing hobo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just didn't want to wait for origins for this episode.
Yeah, get on, bro.
To apologize for, well, the R word comes up in this movie.
It does.
Two times.
And he's like, don't say that word.
Yeah.
It's part of the kind of abuse that Hank went through with his dad.
Yeah.
Dad calling him that.
Yeah.
Yep. But his dad finally approves when he sees the farting body skipping across the ocean.
Well, that's what he thinks anyway. So good for him.
You did it, son. I don't know what you did, but you did it.
Like, I understand that the human body, when it's dead, can make noises. It can moan because the gases are coming
out. It can black snake moan.
But it could never speedboat a human being.
It can white possum
across
scream.
The ocean. It could never act as a water fountain.
We don't know that yet, Amy.
Well, you know what? When I die,
we need more testing.
There's so many things we don't know.
I will donate my body to science specifically for experiments to recreate Swiss Army Man.
Where does Daniel Radcliffe go when he dies? He farts real hard and flies in the sky. Then he's used as a BB gun to shoot a squirrel.
Blasted the head right off the squirrel.
See it again on the 4th of July.
Like he could use his arm to like chop wood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do with your Radcliffe.
All kinds of things with a dead body that, I don't know.
So everybody out there with dead loved ones, they didn't start talking and farting and becoming water fountains for you because you didn't love them enough.
Oh, that's sad.
Just remember that.
I wanted you to know that. My boy is dead now.
Well, thanks, Chris. Chris gave us two choices and we chose this one.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did.
Mm-hmm.
French Rat Taters. I do love the other movie, even though I know Andy, you didn't like it. Did you Buzzsaw Velvet Buzzsaw?
Oh, did you see Velvet Buzzsaw too?
Yeah, I'd seen it. I actually liked it quite a bit. I thought it was crazy. This movie is a lot more fun.
Yeah, I love the trailer of Velvet Buzzsaw, but the movie itself wasn't what I wanted.
It was weird enough. It felt like an Italian, like a Argento movie or something for me.
Felt like a very long episode of Tales from the Crypt.
That too. Yeah.
If we ever do this theme again, I'm surprised nobody brought up Human Centipede.
I feel like it's done to death.
I was hoping someone was going to make us watch Plankton again because I just really want an excuse.
You know, we should revisit that soon.
We can just do it.
Let's do it. All right. Well.
Well.
We did it, guys.
We did it. Son of a bitch.
Think of us as your Swiss Army podcast.
I can chop wood with my arms.
Oh, that's amazing.
I can ride a bike with no handlebars.
No handlebars?
No handlebars?
Remember that?
I do remember that song.
Who was that again?
Who knows?
Flo Rida.
Nope.
No. Pitbull.
Mm-mm.
Bibble?
Jackie Gleason.
Yes.
To the moon, Alice.
I got it. I did it.
So
you did it.
The end of every episode of the show. Really big shoe. Oh, by the way, next week is feedback and news.
Yeah. So if you have anything to say, email us at crew@notlp.com.
Feed us back.
We're also on Facebook and Twitter is NOTLP, Instagram, Night of the Living Podcast, YouTube, NOTLP Crew.
Yeah. I want you guys to send us your best fart.
Best fart.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure. You can voicemail it. Just fart into the voicemail.
Can I?
But wipe your phone down after you fart.
Have you seen the video of the guy at, is it Costco?
I think so.
Where he walks up to the PA, you know, the...
Like a phone.
The phone PA they always have in the on the poles in the middle of the aisles, and he picks it up and he just farts in it, and it echoes throughout the whole store. It's a great video.
That's kind of rude, though. I hope he wipes it down afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was pre-COVID, so he probably didn't, but we all know now.
We all know now if you fart into a PA system,
wipe it down. That's what we've learned.
We've come a long way as a people. So at the end of every episode of the show, we thank our Beelzebubs, which are our top contributors who keep the show, keep the wheels on.
Keep the corks in their butts.
Keeps the corks firmly planted in the show's butt cheeks. Jeff Lancaster.
Thank you for the cork, Jeff.
We really do appreciate again. You really stepping that up. That was amazing. Ernie Perez.
Hey, buddy.
Elise Combrink, who I could have sworn I just saw her.
I could have sworn it. Her. Oh my God.
Amanda.
Came back up here.
G
hey. Money.
Jeremy and Cassie Burmeister.
Burmeister.
Miss you guys.
Very much. Mark Watts.
What's up?
Hey, buddy.
I haven't seen Mark in a little while either.
I hope you're okay.
Blake Heath.
Balake.
Bill Farner.
New York City.
Tree, oh my goodness.
Tree and Alex McNulty.
I like
them. Hey guys.
Iona Goodwin.
Iona Great One.
Brannon and Emily Whitehead.
Them's my booze.
Entravia, the Entravia Whiteheads. Mm-hmm.
They're my little booze.
Adam Ingram.
Hi, Adam.
Bill Chandler.
What up, Bill?
Monica Martinson.
Girl.
Oh, girl. I'd be in trouble if you left me now. Blaine Turner.
Blaine.
Dennis Kennedy.
Blaine Turner.
Blaine just had a birthday. So happy birthday.
Happy belated birthday, Blaine. Happy belated birthday, Blaine.
Birthday. Got a
B-word. B-word fat.
I bolted.
And Kevin Corpy.
Hey.
Did you skip Dennis?
No, I said Dennis Kennedy.
Oh, I needed to do my Kennedy! And then Kevin. Yes, hello, and thank you for joining us at our on our Zoom meeting.
Did you ask me if we forgot Kevin at any point there?
No. Did we forget Kevin?
Do you guys need to talk about Kevin?
We need to talk about Kevin.
Kevin? All right. Anything else, fellas and ladies?
Nope.
Nope.
All right. Thanks for being you.
Love you.
Love you.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old buddy Leatherface put on Dawn of life.